Welcome everyone. This is another episode of On.net. And today we have Xavier and Martin from MyGet. Hi guys.
Hey Bertrand.
Good to see you guys. So why don't you tell us a little bit about MyGet and what it is, why is it useful, and then we can talk more and ask questions and maybe do a demo or something.
Yeah, all right, sure. So maybe let's start with a little bit of history on how we started building MyGet. So I think 4 or 5 years ago, Xavier and I were working together at the same consultancy firm, and we saw NuGet get released, and we saw that it was OData-based, and we saw that the public gallery on NuGet.org only had basically public packages, which means that people in open source projects could start publishing packages and everyone could use those in their projects. But the one thing we noticed was that it was impossible for a company like the one where we worked to componentize some of the work we were doing and publish that to a private feed that only people in our team and maybe our customers could be using. So we sort of started tinkering with a custom OData feed, which was like the predecessor of MyGet, basically building some software that allowed you to create a list of favorite NuGet packages and could add your own NuGet packages. And we basically grew from there. People were kind of interested in hosting their own NuGet packages for their team. And that's where the product MyGet originated.
Okay, so the code that MyGet is using is completely your own. It's not something that is derived from the official NuGet.org website or anything like that.
No. Basically, the API frontend we have is completely custom. We are making use of some of the NuGet libraries, for example, to open a NuGet package and read the metadata out of the package, check framework compatibility and stuff like that, because it's crazy to maintain that yourself, because there's like a new target framework pretty much every day. It's almost more target frameworks than JavaScript frameworks nowadays.
Oh, come on. That's not fair. You cannot say that. It's not true. It's completely untrue. But only because there are so many JavaScript frameworks.
That is true. Well, at least you have a library to left pad your source code.
You don't need a library to do that with .NET. I think. Anyway, yeah. So the main use case for MyGet then is to host private feeds, correct?
That was where we started.
Well, yeah, that's how it started. There's a little bit more to it. Back in the days, I was an ILM consultant, and so I was consulting on CI, continuous delivery, and package management came along as well. And one of the things people are really struggling with is, for instance, versioning. I think even today, Microsoft is also still struggling with that. So it's not an easy topic. It's a learning curve people are having. And if you mix that with like having particular knowledge about NuGet, like the new spec files, the NuGet config files, inheritance, all that, there's lots of things to learn and to know. And we want to make it easier, basically, for people to adopt NuGet, to adopt package management as a whole, and stop, basically committing binaries to the repository. So that's one of the other reasons. And it's basically also part, well, we're developers ourselves, and we don't like yak shaving, and we want to basically remove friction. So that's one of the main drivers for us to continue the product and to, polish it every now and then.
Okay, so you mentioned not pushing binaries to the repositories, which of course is something very reasonable. But how does MyGet help doing that?
Mostly by making it very easy to leverage package management systems instead of using source control for your packages. So if we can make it easier for people to adopt package management as a concept, they will automatically stop using source control for their versioning of the artifacts they're consuming.
Oh, okay. So it's just removing those barriers to entry to package
Exactly.
management. It's more like
Exactly.
a general thing. There is no one feature that is particularly helping with that. It's
Yeah,
the
if you can fix the process, you don't have to bother about fixing tools. So
Yeah, exactly.
you
We do have a couple of features that actually help you get started with packaging. For example, if you're really new to NuGets, we have our build services where you can just link your GitHub repo or your VSTS repo, for example. And what you can do is link it to MyGits. We will check your source code whenever you create a commit, for example, and then build your source code and try to generate a NuGets or multiple NuGet packages out of that. It's a convention-based system, so you basically just create a Visual Studio solution and a project, and we will build the NuGet package from that. If you want to go beyond that, you can add a new spec file and add metadata and dependencies and stuff like that. But it's sort of like a stepping stone to getting to know NuGet and getting to learn how it works, and yeah, building your own libraries that you can then consume and share with either your team or the world.
That's actually pretty nice. I really like that, and I'm not even sure why you call that a stepping stone, because maybe it is that, but it's not only that. I would love for my packages to be updated on not just on MyGet but on NuGet as well, based on new changes in my master branch.
Yeah, well,
So in
it's a stepping stone because our aim was not to build yet another CI system. There's a
Yeah,
couple of those
exactly.
out
Yeah.
there. But what we wanted to provide was the help in getting started with that. But if you want to go beyond that, do things like code coverage, for example, run your full-blown integration tests that spin up a data center in Azure, and do stuff like that, that's not where we want to be. We just want to make it easy to componentize your work and publish that.
Right, and actually, if I do want my packages to get automatically updated based on my check-ins, I should actually set up a proper CI server.
It depends on the scenario. You can probably use MyGet build services for that, but if you want anything that goes way beyond that, you probably want something else there.
So yeah, about continuous integration, can you talk a little bit about how MyGet is helping with that?
Well, first of all, like the NuGet.org website is a public repository, and it's not designed to be the CI artifact repository for everyone. It's basically the release repository, to name it like that. With MyGet, you can basically create multiple feeds, like have a feed per project, per team, per product, or per quality. It depends on how you want to organize yourself. And basically, your CI system can automatically create the packages and push them to MyGet, or MyGet can be that CI system, depends how far-fetched or how advanced you want to go with your build steps. So the idea is that basically on every commit, as a producer of a package, you can have a new package available for people to consume, so you can get early feedback. And that's basically what many open source projects are doing today as well. So there are many projects out there that have a feed on MyGet, I think including .NET Core, that is publishing CI builds or nightly builds. People can consume and provide early feedback, and then the actual releases can be pushed upstream to NuGet. So that's one way to differentiate between what the CI feed could look like, or what you could actually consider MyGet to be used like a staging area before pushing the packages out, or you can basically use MyGet as both the staging and the production area if you want to have your own private tenant on the enterprise plan, for instance.
Okay. And on the consumer side, you just add the address of the feed to your list of feeds in your NuGet configuration, and then you can use the packages.
So if you consume a public feed on MyGet, all you need to do is to configure the endpoint in your package sources in NuGet, and you're done. If you want to use a private feed, you can either configure an API key in the NuGet config, or you can use our brand new credential provider, which we have shipped now for Visual Studio 2017 RC. And from there on, you can authenticate against the endpoint as well. You can even go further because you also have a symbol server functionality built into MyGet. So if you're publishing symbols packages to MyGet, you'll also be having the capability to debug your packages. So you can offer that to your package consumers as well. For that, you need to configure the symbols endpoint in Visual Studio as well.
Okay. So again, if I'm a consumer, I'm building an application, for example, I can check in the NuGet config file so that people who want to build the application don't have to do that configuration themselves.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you look, for example, at the number of the .NET Core repos on GitHub, those guys are actually using MyGet quite a bit. They have a tremendous amount of downloads and packages out there. But if you look into their repos, you will find a number of references to MyGet, so that whenever you clone, for example, Roslyn and do a full build of Roslyn, you're actually fetching packages from their MyGet feed, which contains the nightlies that they have and that are required to make that specific build that you're doing on your machine.
Okay. You have a free offering that anybody can use, open source projects can use, and you have a commercial offering. Where does the difference lie, and when do you start needing the commercial offering?
Yeah, well, of course, we have to pay for our servers and stuff like that as well. So we of course have to have a paid plan there as well. Basically, anyone can start for free on MyGet, and as long as you are only using public feeds, MyGet will basically be free forever for you. If you require a private feed that you want to use within your company and that only a specific set of users actually have access to, that's when you need to upgrade to the starter or professional plans that we have. We also have an enterprise plan, by the way, where if you have a large organization and you have, like, say, 200 developers that need access to a privately scoped MyGet instance, you can also use the enterprise there because it has some additional management features on top of that. Next to free, we also have an open source offering as well as an MVP offering where we basically do give you a private feed for free. The only thing we ask in return is that you do a tweet and basically mention in your README on GitHub, for example, that you are using MyGet to build your open source stuff.
Nice, but why would you need a private feed if you're open source?
It depends. If you look, for example, there's an alternative NuGet client called Packets. Well, that's of course a very specific scenario, but it was the first that came to mind. But they are building an alternative NuGet client, so they also have to have an integration test that checks if they can authenticate against a private feed, for example. And that's where the private feed for them comes in play.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. It becomes a little meta, but yeah, it does make sense.
Okay. An additional scenario, actually, this was originally the MVP and open source plan didn't include a private feed, but we got feedback that people want to demo MyGet to their audience or when speaking or just want to talk about it. So it's always nice to have a private feed available they can use. And of course, yeah, they can use it for personal use as well. So it's yeah, like a small gesture for us to just enable that one private feed on that plan as well.
Very nice. Okay. Do you want to make a demo?
Sure. Maybe I can start with showing off the new credential provider we've built. Because one of the things that is often coming back in feedback to us, so you can share access to a private feed on MyGet using the NuGet config. But the thing there is that you're sharing an API key. So if you include the API key in source control, everyone has that API key. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing we want to make easier, basically, is that your CI system can basically inject the API key on the fly, but you don't want to have share that API key in source control. So you can assign accounts on MyGet that have access to the particular feed in question. And then they need to authenticate against MyGet like they normally do against the website. So I have here a test setup that is basically already connecting to a secured MyGet feed here. So the moment you connect to it for the first time, you'll be prompted with this dialog, the same one as you will see on MyGet itself. The moment you authenticate, you will have access to the private feed for the duration of the session. So that's very convenient. No need to know about NuGet configs. No need to know about API keys or any particular NuGet knowledge. You just connect to it. All you need to do is to install this extension. It's currently only available on Visual Studio 2017. But this is the one you need. So the MyGet credential provider for Visual Studio 2017. And from that moment, you'll be able to authenticate using your personal credentials without sharing the keys with anyone.
Okay.
That's so a very short demo, but it's okay, very convenient.
Yeah, let's maybe quickly show you how you would set up a MyGet feed and work with a private feed, for example, publish packages and stuff. That also will make clear the need for this credential provider, because it's actually a really convenient thing to authenticate against MyGets and consume stuff in Visual Studio. So let me quickly share my screen. All right. Can you see it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's sign in. And once signed in, we can create a new feed. It's quite easy. You can just click New Feed, give the feed a name, or use one of our crazy suggestions that we have, and then decide between the feed being a public feed, a community feed, or a private feed. Public feed is quite simple. It basically allows anyone on the internet to make use of that feed as a read user, which means all the packages that are published on that public feed can be consumed by anyone out there without needing authentication or authorization to consume it. Of course, to publish a package to that feed, you still need credentials and you still need to be a feed owner there. That's where the community feed comes in. Like, for example, if you want to build a plugin system based on MyGets, and on NuGet, you could create a community feed where you are the owner of the feeds, but other people can contribute their own packages to that specific feed. To give you an example, there's a nice tool called NuGet Package Explorer. It's again kind of meta, but it's a tool that allows you to open up NuGet packages and break down whatever is in there. So you can look at the target frameworks, you can look at whatever assembly is in there, and so on. And they also have a plugin model for that tool. Now, the plugins that you can install are also NuGet packages that are delivered on a NuGet feed, but they are leveraging the community feed here so that anyone who wants to write a plugin for NuGet Package Explorer can contribute a plugin on that community feed.
Yeah, you could also imagine a CMS, for example, having its modules.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yep.
This is actually the scenario that NuGet.org is, the official NuGet website. So this is exactly a community feed. So people can contribute their own packages and manage those, but they are read-only for all other packages.
So as the owner of that feed, I would be able to manage any packages and delete, you know.
Yeah, you would be the administrator of it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then the third alternative, of course, is to create a private feed, which is a feed that only you have access to, or other users if you give them access there. Now, I quickly created a feed earlier today.
Are there any restrictions on who can create a community or a private feed? So private feed, yes, you addressed that earlier, but what about the community feed?
A community feed can be created by anyone. So public and community feed can be created on the free plan. It's only when you actually require a private feed that you have to scale up there.
Nice.
I already created a feed this morning called on.net. And once I have a feed, I can start adding packages. I can add packages from the UI here. So I can add a package. Say I want to add a NuGet NPM or Bower package. Let's say we want to add a NuGet package. We can search an upstream feed, in this case, NuGet.org. We can upload a package or just upload our packages.config so that MyGet will basically download any package that is referred to in that packages.config. If we select from feeds, we can, for example, add a package from NuGet.org. And of course, NuGet.org is an app store. And like any app store, you need a package like this. So let's add this specific package. No particular use, but just as a demo. Whenever adding packages from an upstream feed, you can also decide if you want to include dependencies or not. So for example, if I include dependencies, when I add this superfarter package to my feed, it will also reach out to NuGet, check if there's actually dependencies of that superfarter package, and also add those dependencies to your feed. We disabled that by default because we saw a couple of users add one of the NuGet, one of the .NET Core packages to their feed, and all of a sudden they had like 1,000 packages on their feed. So that's why we made it an option and added this warning in there. And then if we add it, it will basically fetch that package from NuGet and add it to the feeds. This will take a while, but let's maybe quickly add Xavier as a second user to this feed as well. So if we go to the feed security, we can add feed privileges and invite someone via email or just by username. I think Xavier's username is just his full name. And then we can give him privileges. We can tell that he can consume this feed, he can contribute his own packages to this feed, or can manage all users and all packages, which is basically like a co-administrator for this entire feed. So let's add him there. And by now, of course, our superfarter will be there. We can go to the package details as well. And we can now configure this feed in Visual Studio and consume the package from there as well. Now, the UI is, again, a stepping stone. I hope not everyone is using the UI to upload their NuGet packages, and instead they are making use of the actual NuGet clients to upload their packages from their CI server, for example. So what you would do there is go to the feed details and copy the feed URL. Let's do that, and let's quickly create a NuGet package. So I already created a simple project this morning as well. A Hello World application with a Hello World provider. I didn't really go into the Java world and create a Hello World provider factory and all kinds of stuff you would expect there. But this is like a very simple example of some library that we may want to share, because any developer out there writes Hello World codes. So why write it yourself? You can use this component for that, right? So what I did was go to the file system and ran NuGet there. And if you run NuGet spec, you will basically generate a new spec file which contains some metadata around your package. So if you open that one, I already generated it, of course. But if you open that one, you will see that this thing contains an ID, a version, title, a license URL, authors, owners, etc. This is basically the metadata that you will see in the package details page on MyGit or on NuGet when you push this thing upstream. And the nice thing is, when we package this, that metadata is also embedded in the package. For example, the license URL is also embedded in that package. And whenever someone installs this thing, they will see this specific metadata in their UI as well. Now let's quickly package this package. I can simply say NuGet pack hello world. Let's see, it's Pudge. And once that completes, we now have a package. If we look at the file system, we now have a Hello World 1.1.1.1.0.0.0 NupKick. That's, of course, not really interesting. So let's maybe delete that one and package a proper version. I'm also going to include symbols because it may become handy in a future demo as well. And let's say I want the version to be 1.1.0. Which is a nicer semantic version, saying that I actually upgraded this package and so on. I could also make this a pre-release. Can you still see it?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's package it as a version 1.1.0. All right. Now we have the package. We also have the symbols package. And now we can push it up to MyGit. So what we can do is say NuGet push any NupKick we have. Of course, we need the API key as well. I'm quickly going to my feed and to my profile to copy the API key, because that's something you need to push to any NuGet or MyGit feed out there. I have a specific one for the on.NET podcast. I can paste it into my command line window. Also, again, copy the feed URL there. And once we do that, of course, I have to add the source switch there as well. Once we do that, this will upload the package to MyGit, and as we can see that both the packages have been pushed. So that's quite interesting. And now people can simply consume this package from this feed. Actually, if you have Visual Studio open and you type this URL as a package source in Visual Studio, you can probably already see this Hello World package on there. All right, there we go. It's now on MyGit as well. Now, the interesting thing is that I also pushed the symbols package. And apparently on nuget.org, there's also a Hello World package which with a version 1.3. Oh, so we can update it as well. But the nice thing is...
I could tell you about an interesting... When you're done, I'll tell you about an interesting bug that I found a few months ago.
Oh, yeah.
Because of something like that. Exactly the same case.
Always eager to hear about those stories. Now, the nice thing is we also pushed the symbols package, which means that on MyGit, you will be able to see the source codes for this Hello World provider. In this case, it's only one class, so you can see that in there. You can see the symbols, which means that if you configure this URL as a symbol server in Visual Studio, you will also be able to step through and debug into this Hello World provider when you are consuming this NuGet package from this feed.
Great. That's excellent.
So that's like the Hello World of publishing something to MyGit.
Very nice. Very, very nice. Yeah, and it's very easy to begin. Yeah. Just create a feed.
All right. Now, what was the thing you had happen?
Yeah. So a couple of months ago, I was writing a tutorial for getting started with .NET Core. And you create a console application, then you create a library and so on, a test project, etc. And in the steps, you create a library called library. And that's a big mistake, turns out, because there is a NuGet package on nuget.org that's called library. So when you include a dependency to library, you think that you are doing a package-to-package reference, but in fact, you are bringing down a reference to that package on NuGet, and who knows what's in there. I mean, it's called library. So it's from some guy, and I was very, very puzzled by that because I was, staring at the code and wondering why it was failing to even build. And the name of that guy appeared in the logs, the name of the author of the package. So where is this coming from? So I did a Google search for the name of the guy, and it took me a while to understand what was actually going on. It was crazy. So yeah, this is how I learned that you need to specify in your project JSON that this is a project reference and not a package reference, because it defaults to package. So,
yeah, I think if you would look at nuget.org, there's actually, would be my guess, there will be a number of packages called console application 1 or class library 1 on there as well.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So be careful what you name things. It's always better to be very explicit. But when you're writing a stupid tutorial. Anyway. Great. Cool stuff. And yeah, people know how to get started. So that's fantastic. More stuff you have to show, guys, but we can finish early if
Yeah, just want to mention a shameless plug. this was basically the getting started tutorial. But of course, if you want to make this a process within your company, there's lots of other stuff involved as well. There's more to it. So we did write a book back in the days, actually two of them, which is called Pro NuGet by Apris. Which actually covers a lot more than what most people are doing in open source or what people are doing at home, let's say. So we also cover integrations with CI, with other processes in the ALM space. So might be interesting to find out as well if you're interested in this. Sure.
One quick word of warning. The contents may be a little bit outdated in terms of the NuGet versions used and the Visual Studio versions used, but I think the book is still very worthwhile looking at just the concepts that are described.
Exactly. Yeah.
If you can send me a link to that book, I'll put it in the description. And any other links you have to relevant documentation would be useful. Yeah, we wanted to talk about your user group as well.
Maybe another quick shameless plug. So I'm also one of the founders of the Azure user group here in Belgium. In fact, I used to be an Azure MVP as well. And one of the things that we, together with a lot of other user groups around the globe, are organizing next year is the fourth edition of the Global Azure Bootcamp. So let's quickly fire up that website. It's basically, if you are new to Azure and interested in Windows Azure, you can subscribe to one of the various locations around the globe. And on one day, which will be April 22, 2017, a number of communities around the globe will be organizing a one-day bootcamp on Azure. Some will have several sessions a day. Some will have an actual Azure training. So it's a different format in each location. But the nice thing is, on the exact same day for each user group around the globe, so that you're actually part of what's probably the biggest distributed event on this planet. And if you actually want to subscribe and go to the locations, we just opened the registrations for locations. And I think there's already something like 87 locations around the globe. So unless you're in northern Russia, you will probably have to travel somewhere. But unless you are unless you're there, you can probably find an event near you as well.
Nice. I really like that because we have a lot of great user groups around the globe for .NET and Azure. This is something that is self-organization of the community, which is absolutely great. And you said unless you are in northern Siberia or I don't know, but actually that's not even an excuse, because if you are in a place where there is no user group, create one.
Exactly.
Yeah. It will be the opportunity to find other people who have the same interest in your area. So yeah, it's
a great way to meet new people and yes, build experience with technology and just hang out with peers.
Yeah, and I believe that Microsoft does help. Maybe you know more than me about that, but I believe Microsoft provides some help to user groups on occasion. So.
Yeah, I think something like that, yeah. It depends on the region and the country, I guess.
Mm. Yeah, if there is a local subsidy.
But here in Belgium, they're really friendly. Hi, Christoph.
It's hanging out with beers, not peers.
Where is your beer? You guys are on in your...
Cheers.
People didn't see that.
I'll do it again. Cheers.
That's how it all starts.
Well, yeah, it's 7 p.m. for you. You're in Belgium, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, we're still on the good side of the Balmer Peak, so...
Okay. Anything else you guys want to mention before we close?
I think we can probably wrap up. We'll send you the links so that you can add them to the blog posts when publishing this video. And thanks for chatting, I would say.
Yeah. There is one thing I want to add. I want to thank you guys for doing the show, but not only that, for providing a great resource to the community for free, unless you need private feed. I think this is great because this is a perfect example where, Microsoft provided something, which is NuGet.org, and obviously there were many needs beyond what NuGet.org could provide, and somebody in the community, you guys, stepped up and built those additional features that people needed. So I think it's great when the community feels that kind of need. So I think that's an example to follow for people who have similar ideas.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. All right. Well, thank you for being on the show. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in and watching. We'll be back next week. I don't know who will be on the show next week, but we will also have some of the videos that I shot at the MVP Summit that I will begin putting on the channel as well. So stay tuned. There might be some additional videos during the week in addition to the regular ones. Bye, everyone. See you next week.
Bye.